Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening with the Highland Radio News at 5.30. I'm Ryan Brawley. A look at the headlines this evening. The emergency department at Letterkenny University Hospital is extremely busy. The Taoiseach says his government won't be reckless with the public finances while offering energy supports to people. A meeting of the Regional Health Forum today heard of new appointments to breast care at Letterkenny University Hospital, and no IPAS centres are currently being considered for Donegal, the Department of Justice has confirmed. All of these stories in full and more coming up, and we'll have a full update of all the sport at around a quarter to six. But first, the emergency department at Letterkenny University Hospital is extremely busy. As a result, some procedures scheduled for this week are being reviewed. Ian Delaney reports.
According to a statement from the HSC today, there have been 110 presentations to the ED, with 27 patients on trolleys awaiting admission to an inpatient bed. They're advising that patients who attend the ED for routine and non-urgent treatment will experience very long waiting times as all available beds in the hospital are in use. Patients are facing long waiting times to be admitted from the ED to a bed on a ward. People who require emergency care are encouraged to attend the ED, where they'll be prioritised, but people are asked to attend their GP or out-of-hours service in the first instance. As a result of bed pressures, some elective procedures are being deferred this week. Urgent and time-sensitive procedures are being reviewed for the remainder of the week. Patients are being contacted directly if their procedure is being postponed, and the HSC is also directing people to the Common Conditions Service, where pharmacists can treat 8 conditions.
The Taoiseach says his government won't be reckless with the public finances while offering energy supports to people. The Cabinet approved a €250 million plan to cut excise duty, increase fuel allowance payments and offer a rebate to hauliers. But there will be just a 2 cent a litre cut to the cost of home heating oil, working out at €20 on a full tank. Taoiseach Micheál Martin says it's a balance between supports and financial flexibility.
Well, the fuel allowance will run out. We're extending it to the end of April, and that's it. Then obviously the summer kicks in, May, June, July, August and so on, and we anticipate a good summer. That's one point. I mean, that's one factor. And we are, as I said, we're going to keep it under review because there are, as I said, fiscal limits to what we can do, so that's why we're trying to target resources.
We have no intention of being reckless with this crisis or irresponsible with this crisis. We want to be flexible. We want to give supports to people. Every government is limited in terms of what it can do in situations like this.
Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou MacDonald was one of a number of opposition leaders to criticise the plan and the level of cuts to home heating oil.
It amounts only to a €20 reduction on a fill that now costs around €1,700, a drop in the tank. And of course, in any event, you'll take this back from people anyway when you hike up carbon tax in just a few weeks. So you give with one hand only to take back with the other.
A meeting of the Regional Health Forum today heard of new appointments to breast care at Letterkenny University Hospital. Two consultant breast surgeons have been appointed, along with the appointment of a consultant breast radiologist. Councillor Declan Meehan raised the issue and has welcomed the work by the HSE.
Yeah, look, I suppose this comes as a result of Mr. Michael Sugar's retirement, who has been delivering an excellent breast service there at Letterkenny University Hospital. What we had confirmation of today through a question I raised at the Regional Health Forum is that a consultant breast surgeon has been appointed at Letterkenny University Hospital and they've started their work. There's also a consultant breast radiologist that has been successfully recruited, and we're very close to a second consultant breast surgeon being appointed at Letterkenny University Hospital as well. This means that the breast service in Letterkenny will be operating at full capacity, which will address the backlog issues that we've been seeing with breast referrals, which is a very welcome development for women's health and a very welcome vote of confidence in this local service provision for patients in Donegal.
And while acknowledging the progress that's been made, there were some challenges that were listed in relation to waiting times, with 540 routine referrals on the waiting list. 257 patients are waiting longer than the recommended 84 days.
Yeah, look, I mean, that's a concern, and that's why I had raised this issue. And why it was on my radar that, you know, we have 257 patients waiting longer than the recommended KPI timeframe of 84 days. The HSE have already run additional clinics called initiative clinics in February and March, and a commitment was given today by the HSE that they will operate more of those initiative clinics in order to address that backlog.
No iPass centres are currently being considered for Donegal, the Department of Justice has confirmed. The statement comes amid speculation among residents about a possible centre in Remelton. In response to Donegal Deputy Padraig McLaughlin, the department said iPass has not yet received any offer of accommodation for the Blue Goat Remelton Artisan Food Store and is not assessing the property for use. This does not rule out a planning application being made in the near future. However, Deputy McLaughlin says given changes to planning rules around iPass centres, he believes it will not be approved by the council.
Over the last year, I have submitted queries to the Department of Justice around speculation for iPass centres in Letterkenny, numerous locations, and Buncrana, two different locations, and Newton Cunningham, Ballyliffin, and now Remelton. On every occasion, the department has come back to say that they're not seeking to develop an iPass centre. But on this occasion, they've gone further, and they're saying that they're not looking to develop an iPass centre in Donegal as a whole. Obviously, Donegal has shouldered a very big responsibility in terms of Ukrainian refugees and asylum seekers, more than any other county per head of capita, even though we have a humanitarian crisis with defective blocks. So I welcome the clarification from the department.
Now, this clarification doesn't necessarily mean that there won't be a planning application made.
Yeah, looking at the wording of the advertisement in the newspaper, it does look like one will be submitted. I can confirm as of last night that an application hasn't been received, but it does look like one is going to be submitted. I would expect that Donegal County Council, following the precedent that was set in the Strand Hotel Ballyliffin last year, whereby if somebody's applying for works related to a centre for international protection applicants, that if they do not have a contract with the department, in this case Department of Justice, then they will not be granted planning. So I would hope that that precedent would continue.
A public meeting is set to take place this evening in Annagry to emphasise Ireland's position as a neutral country. The meeting will be attended by former MEPs Claire Daly and Mick Wallace, who will deliver speeches. Councillor Micheál Colum-McGilla-Asbach has called this an important meeting as war continues in the Middle East. He says Ireland must retain its historical neutral position.
Unfortunately, that's the unfollowing from the Gael has forced us now to a point where we must take action and make a clear voice that our triple lock is not for removing, our neutrality is not for getting rid of. Remember that during the 40s, when the De Valera government decided to put area signs around the most of the coast to give a clear indication that the 26 counties was a neutral country during World War II. If neutrality was right back then, neutrality is right today.
Do you think that Ireland should have any role in a global conflict such as this, or should it just be looking inward and isolating themselves in a neutral fashion with no engagement?
Look, it's very, very clear that the people of the 26 counties and the majority of people right across the 32 counties do not want to see a militarised Ireland. They don't want to see our young women and men going to join armies to kill in the interest of the rich. What they want to see is their children going to college and university and going and finding trades for themselves so we can build our country.
The North's Justice Minister says tackling violence against women and girls remains a top priority. It comes as police are investigating the murder of mum of two, Amy Doherty, in Derry. While yesterday a man was found guilty of the murder of County Armagh woman Natalie McNally, who was pregnant when she was killed in 2022. Naomi Long says things have to change.
Now 30 women and girls who have lost their lives in the last 5 years. And it just feels, I think, desperately sad that we live in a society where women and girls cannot feel safe and cannot be safe.
The Mayor of Derry City and Strabane District Council, Rory McHugh, has opened a book of condolences for Amy. It can be signed in person at the Guild Hall or online via the council's website. These people have been speaking after signing.
I feel emotional because I keep thinking about that beautiful young girl that's lost her life and the two children left behind and her family.
It's just so upsetting and sad what has happened, and there's a really dark cloud over Derry.
A young mother, two aunts. A young mother. You know, I have two aunts of my own.
On Friday, a candlelit vigil will take place in Inishowen in memory of Amy Doherty and the other 29 women killed in Northern Ireland since 2020. Organised by Lifeline Inishowen, the event will be held outside their premises at 7 o'clock. Gardaí are investigating after a man in a Ballyclava was spotted trespassing on the grounds of a house in Saugher Trenta in the early hours of Wednesday morning. Shortly after 2:20 a.m, a notification was received from an external CCTV camera showing a man in dark clothing. Nothing was stolen from the house. Anyone who saw suspicious activity, vehicles or people on foot in the area at the time is asked to contact Gardaí in Milford. Gardaí are investigating a second fatal fire at a house in County Offaly, where two people, including a four-year-old boy, were killed last year. The latest fire happened in the early hours of this morning in Edenderry. Barry White reports.
The latest fire happened in the early hours of this morning. Emergency services were called to the scene at around 4 o'clock, and Gardaí have since confirmed that a body was discovered inside the house. It's understood the remains are those of an adult male who was the only person in the property at the time. Gardaí are working to establish whether the fire started accidentally or if it was deliberate. A post-mortem examination will now take place, which will determine the direction of the Garda investigation. This fire happened at the same house where four-year-old Tadhg Farrell and his great-aunt Mary Holt were killed in a petrol bomb attack in December last year. Barry White in Edenderry.
Gardaí are appealing for information following a series of car-related incidents in Donegal. In each case, those with relevant information or dashcam footage is asked to make it available. With more, here's Donna Marie Doherty.
In Buncrana, several male youths were seen searching through an unlocked vehicle in a car park on St Mary's Road at around 20 to 5 on Tuesday morning. Nothing is believed to have been stolen. Meanwhile, in Letterkenny, two cars were broken into last Friday evening in the car park near Caravaddy Woods between 5:45 and 6 o'clock. Entry was gained by smashing a window in each. One vehicle had nothing stolen, but items were taken from the other, including a grey-blue cord bag with perfume, a navy coin purse with cash and a bank card, a makeup bag, a mobile phone, glasses and a silver Schaefer fountain pen engraved with the initials ED, which held significant sentimental value. The stolen phone was later recovered. Gardaí are asking anyone with dashcam footage or other information to come forward to assist with the investigations.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports, now stocking the new Donegal GAA jersey. Find all your GAA essentials at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 5:45 on Highland Radio, and Chris Ashmore's at the sports desk.
Thanks, Ryan. We begin with soccer, and the Republic of Ireland assistant manager John O'Shea says they're feeling quietly confident ahead of Thursday's World Cup playoff against Czechia. A win in Prague would keep alive hopes of reaching the World Cup finals for the first time since 2002. O'Shea has been speaking about the game plan.
You're not going to go gung-ho straight away too. You have to have that game plan, that idea and the calmness to execute it as well, and I think that's what the group has been gaining and gaining in strength. So I think that's the focus mainly, to have that game plan executed and go and win the game.
Meanwhile, Football Supporters Europe has filed a complaint against FIFA over what it's called excessive ticket prices for this summer's World Cup. The fans group has written to the European Commission, accusing the sport's governing body of abusing its monopoly position. FIFA says it is focused on ensuring fair access for supporters and that money from sales is reinvested in the game. Arsenal will take on Real Betis in a pre-season friendly in Dublin this summer. It was announced today. The sides will meet at the Aviva Stadium on August the 5th with a 7:30 start. It's Arsenal's first pre-season visit to the Republic since August 2018, when they beat Chelsea on penalties in front of over 44,000 spectators. Tickets will go on pre-sale from tomorrow. And today, FinHarps launched a stadium naming initiative called Name the Park. that will give one entrant the right to choose a new name of Finn Park for its final chapter as a League of Ireland venue. The club's inviting supporters, businesses and people everywhere to become part of its story by putting their chosen name on the ground for its final League of Ireland game, whenever that is, ahead of the planned move to a new stadium. More details are available on the Finn Harps website. In rugby, Connacht out half Jack Carty is set to retire from rugby at the end of the season. He scored 1,260 points across 15 years for his home province and won the Pro 12 title in 2016. He was also capped 11 times by Ireland. In snooker, a deal's been confirmed for the Crucible to host the Snooker World Championship until at least 2045. There's also an option for the Sheffield venue to retain the event until 2050. A £45 million redevelopment of the famous theatre will see capacity increased by 500 seats. On to racing, and jockey Mark Walsh has confirmed that he'll ride Jaguar in the Aintree Grand National. Walsh was aboard the JP McManus owned 7-year-old and finishing second in the Ultima at the Cheltenham Festival. Meanwhile, trainer Nicky Henderson has announced the death of his unforgettable stable star, Sir Gino. The Christmas hurdle winner was unable to overcome a severe infection. And finally, three young local fishermen will have their eyes on the angling world this summer, when the Trout Angler Federation of Ireland will bring the prestigious World Youth Fly Fishing Championships to the waters of Donegal and Tyrone. The 23rd FIPS Moosh Youth Championships will be based in Balbuffet in July, and the Irish under 19 team for the event will feature the Tyrone duo of Jacob Griffin and Lewis Porter and Rafoe's Finn Kelly. And that's your Tuesday Sport.
Thanks, Chris. At Derry Magistrates Court, a barrister has said the decision is ridiculous to prosecute a 93-year-old woman for criminal damage in a case described as a neighbour dispute. Evelyn Land, 93, of Burnside Matter in Derry, is charged with criminal damage to a neighbour's vehicle on August 14, 2025. Defence Counsel Grainne McEnany said that this was a woman with a clear record who would be making her first court appearance ever at the age 93. She said she would be making representations to the Public Prosecution Service about the public interest in this prosecution. Ms. McEnany said that while admissions were made, this was essentially a dispute between neighbours, and she asked for an adjournment to allow her to make relevant representations. The case was adjourned until April 13th, and the defendant did not appear. The latest figures from Revenue show updated property tax return weren't filed for 390,000 homes. However, returns for 1.9 million properties were submitted by last November's deadline. John Isle, deputy business editor with the Sunday Times, says the majority of homeowners will be paying a higher amount for their property tax.
Revenue has updated their property tax statistics just this morning, and I can tell you that 390,000 properties are lacking a return. Now, 1.9 million homeowners have sent in the correct paperwork, but everybody else was supposed to take a valuation on November 1st and submit it. As a new valuation period that runs from 2026 to 2030. The ones that really need to think about what they're doing are the 170,000 homeowners who have neither filed a return nor have a payment plan in place. And Revenue says it's going to start its non-compliance campaign, basically going after these homeowners, first starting with a letter issuing this week saying you need to file this return, but then next going to their employers and saying if it's not done in a fortnight, we're going to start deducting local property tax from their wages. Many people, in fact most, because property prices have been going up in the last 5 years, will have a higher band and more to pay. So each band is roughly an increase of 100 euros a year, give or take. Now Revenue is saying the 390,000 properties have not submitted returns. Now, of those, 227,000 do have a payment instruction in place, which means they were paying their property tax up until November. They're just behind on filing the returns.
There's a call to increase the funding for service providers for childcare, children in care. A report from the Ombudsman for Children's Office shows the system is consistently underfunded and not currently operating with the best interest of the children. The office is also recommending banning the placement of children in unregulated accommodation and ending the use of special emergency arrangements. Kai Brosnan entered care as a teenager and says the system can be confusing.
The social worker at the time told me I was going to go into residential and just expected me to know what that was. So I started Googling on my phone what is residential care, and at that time only old folks homes came up. and I genuinely thought that I was being sent to a nursing home, and I was very confused because there was no information. If you don't know what residential care is, it's very hard to get the information. I had a really difficult time when I was younger, and it caused a lot of mental health difficulties. I was linked in with CAMHS for a while in a type of therapy that I constantly said didn't agree with me. It wasn't helping me. I wanted to source my own thing because there's other options and I'm aware of the other options, but my preferences for the type of care I received weren't accepted.
Ombudsman for Children Dr. Niall Muldoon says he doesn't believe TUSLA isn't fit for purpose.
I think if we got what they asked for to start with, we'd then know whether they were fit for purpose. But if you constantly fail to maintain your car for 5 years, your car is going to start stuttering and not running properly. In this case, 50% of the money they asked for didn't get going to them. So what would they have done with that? It was over 100 million a year. What number of beds would that have got? What sort of staff would that have got? What sort of training would it have got?
And the weather blustery this evening and tonight with widespread heavy showers, turning cold with some showers falling as hail or sleet with snow on higher ground. Lowest temperatures of 0 to 3 degrees with frost and icy patches possible in sheltered spots. Some more scattered showers, more scattered later in the night. Fresh to strong northwest winds reaching gale force at times on western coasts. A cool and blustery day tomorrow with a mix of sunny spells and scattered showers. Further wintry falls mainly on higher ground. During the evening, the showers will become more isolated. Highest temperatures of 5 to 7 degrees in fresh northwesterly winds, strong in northwest coastal areas. A look back at this evening's main stories. The emergency department at Letterkenny University Hospital is extremely busy. According to a statement from the HSE today, there have been 110 presentations to the ED, with 27 patients on trolleys awaiting admission to an inpatient bed. They are advising that patients who attend ED for routine and not urgent treatment will experience long waiting times, as all available beds in the hospital are in use. People who do require emergency care are encouraged to attend EDs where they will be prioritised, but people are asked to attend their GP or out-of-hours service in the first instance. The Taoiseach says his government won't be reckless with public finances while offering energy supports to people. The Cabinet approved a €250 million plan to cut excise duty, increase fuel allowance payments and offer a rebate to hauliers. But there will be just a 2 cent a litre cut to the cost of home heating oil, working out at around €20 on a full tank. Taoiseach Micheál Martin says it's a balance between supports and financial flexibility. A meeting of the Regional Health Forum today heard of new appointments to breast care at Letterkenny University Hospital. Two consultant breast surgeons have been appointed alongside a consultant breast radiologist. Councillor Declan Meehan raised the issue and has welcomed the work by the HSE. And no IPAS centres are currently being considered for Donegal, the Department of Justice has confirmed. The statement comes amid speculation among residents about a possible centre in Remilton. In response to Donegal Deputy Padraig McLaughlin, the department said IPAS has not received any offer of accommodation for the Blue Goat Remilton Artisan Food Store and is not assessing the property for use. This does not rule out a planning application being made in the near future. However, Deputy McLaughlin says given changes to planning rules around IPAS centres, he believes it will not be approved by the council. That's all from the newsroom for now. We'll be back with news again at 7. The obituary notices this Tuesday evening, March the 24th. The death has taken place of Charlie Freel, 22 Townsend Street, Strabane. Reposing at Quigley's funeral home today from 6:30pm to 8:30pm. Funeral leaving the funeral home tomorrow at 2pm to the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane, to repose overnight. Requiem Mass on Thursday at 10am. Interment afterwards in Strabane Cemetery. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. The death has taken place of Frances Call, Lunia, Derry Beg, originally from Glasgow. Her remains will repose at her home in Lunia today until 8pm and tomorrow from 1pm to 8pm. Rosary nightly at 8pm. House private after rosary and on the morning of the funeral. Funeral Mass will take place on Thursday at 11am in St Columbkill's Church Knockfalla, interment afterwards in Maharagallan Cemetery. The funeral mass can be viewed live on Kieran Rorty Funeral Director's Facebook page and on the church webcam via MCM Media. The death has occurred of Josie Hargan, Crehennan, Quigley's Point. Josie's remains are at the home of her son Declan and daughter-in-law Betty, Crehennan, Quigley's Point. Removal from there tomorrow evening at 6:30pm, going to St Columba's Church Drung for 7pm reception prayers and reposing overnight. Requiem Mass will take place in St. Columbus Church on Thursday at 11 a.m, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Requiem Mass can be viewed live on MCM Media. Family Flowers only, please, donations in lieu if desired, to a Buncrana nursing unit, care of any family member, or Blaine McCarran, Kelly's funeral directors. The death has taken place of Blanche Gallagher, Nae Finlay, 5 Tullochore Drive, Strabane, and formerly of Claddy, reposing at her home today. Funeral leaving her home on Thursday at 12:20 p.m. for Requiem Mass in Sacred Heart Church, Derry Road at 1 p.m. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Foyle Hospice, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. The death has taken place of Robert John Rob O'Brien, 116 Barleyfields, Colmore. Rob will be reposing in his home today until 8 p.m. and tomorrow from 12 till 8 p.m. Funeral from there on Thursday at 10:45 a.m. for 11:30 a.m. Requiem Mass in Star of the Sea Church, Fawnvale. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of flowers, if wished, to Foyle Hospice, 61 Colmore Road, Derry. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.